flying by. Oh, I'll fly away. I'll fly away. I'll fly away. Oh, glory. Fly away. In the morning when I die. Hallelujah, by and by. Oh, I'll fly away. I'll fly away. Amen, amen, and good morning to everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Good to see everybody. How's everybody doing? Good, good. How you doing? Good, good. Hopefully you're doing well. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Hopefully you're glad this morning. You woke, wake up, wake up, wake up. Wake up, get up, sit up. We want to welcome you to the Fifth Ward Church of Christ Sunday morning worship service. Those of you that's coming by way of live stream, by way of Facebook Live, by way of YouTube, by way of our spiritual food, we are trying to cover every avenue to try to reach our members, those who are seekers, those who are guests. We're trying to reach you in every avenue. We have and our conference calls. So we have our live stream, our Facebook Live. We have our YouTube. We have our telephone conference call. We have our spiritual food program that comes by way of television at 10:30 every Sunday morning. It's a delay of maybe a week or so delay of sermons. And so we want you to tune in any way you can to join us in our worship services. We appreciate you this morning. I'm Brother Gary Smith, and I'm thankful to be with you this morning. Thankful to brothers leading us in prayer and song and scripture. And so it's just good to be here. Hopefully you're okay. We have had more members who've been affected by the coronavirus. Many of our members are either at home, ill, quarantined. Some are in the hospital, and some have even passed away. And so please continue to keep us in prayers. And not only our members, individuals all over this land and country, as we go through the spike in this disease. And so we're still in prayer, and we're still taking care of ourselves. We still are masking up. I have my mask. Everybody in here has masks on or have their masks with them. And I protect you. You protect me. And we need to keep doing that. So, OK, is that all right? Amen. That's all right. Amen. Amen. Do you love God?
Yes,
I know you do. Sing a couple of verses with me. I really love the Lord. Will I really love the Lord? Oh, yes, and you don't know. Sing it, women. Oh, yes, he gave me the victory, and that's why I love him, I love. I want to hear you at home sing, too. I really love the Lord, he watches over me, and he watches over me. Oh, well, he watches over me. Oh, yes, and you don't know what he's done for me. Oh, yes, he gave me the victory. And that's why I love him. I love him. I really love the Lord. Amen. Amen. We are still in the lesson series that we started a few weeks ago entitled Anchors for the Soul. Anchors for the Soul. Meet with me in the book of Acts chapter 27. In verse 29, as we give just a brief, quick review, fearing that we might run aground somewhere on the rocks, the Apostle Paul is a prisoner, and he's being taken to the city of Rome, where he is to stand trial. And he's on the boat. He's on the ship with other individuals. And that storm rises, a terrible storm. And the scripture says they cast four anchors, unusual, four anchors from the stern and wished for daybreak. But it was a desperate situation. And we know, those of you that are sailors or have been in the Navy or know anything about water, you know that the anchor is important. An anchor is used for keeping a ship from drifting offshore, off course. An anchor is used to provide stability in unstable times. When there is waves, high waves, a storm, the anchor is used to literally save lives. And they had four anchors, and they cast them off to the side, and they were praying for daybreak. Verse 30, but the sailors were trying to escape from the ship, and they let down the ship's boat into the sea on the pretense of intending to lay out anchors from the bow. But Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, unless these men remain in the ship, you yourselves cannot be saved. That's this whole series can come out right out of that text. You have God and his providence. Paul is going to Rome. God, we said we are identifying four anchors that we as Christians, we as travelers in this journey of life must have. Number one, we must have unfaltering faith in God and his word. Because see, here we see God's plan being carried out. He told Paul in Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 9, that you're my chosen vessel. And you're going to stand before kings and queens. And here Paul is. Later in his life, God is sending him to Rome. He didn't know what was going on. But God always knows what's going on. God is always in control. The second anchor we covered last week, unwavering faith and belief in Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior. We read part of the scripture, Psalms chapter 90 and verse 2. God the architect, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. God has been in control and is still in control. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15, Colossians chapter 1 verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God. Speaking of Jesus Christ, the firstborn of all creation, not the first one who was born, but first in rank of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominion or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him. Through who, Brother Gary? Jesus. Through him and for him. So we have unfaltering faith in God, and then we have this unwavering belief. These are two anchors that we as human beings, if we are going to see God's face in peace, there cannot be any wavering. We must proclaim and attest. It's not an opinion. God wants us to believe in him and to believe in his son. Oh, then we come to the third anchor. And these anchors are really in progression, because you can't believe in God if you don't believe in Jesus. If you believe in God, you got to believe in Jesus. Amen, somebody. Why do I need to believe in Jesus? Because of the hope of salvation. That's our third anchor, the hope of salvation. Paul told those men, listen, if you don't stay on this boat, you're not going to be saved. Oh, let me hurry. Hebrews chapter 9, Brother Hamilton read in our hearing, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 19. This, you up? You wake? Wake up now. Don't miss this. Don't get coffee on this one. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul. There it is. That's where I got the title from. As an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters into the veil. Now, I don't have time to give all the background, but here the Hebrew writer, he says, this hope, and you're asking the question, well, Brother Gary, what hope? I'm glad you asked. We're in Hebrews chapter 6. Let's go back to verse 18. Now, we're in verse 19. Let's go back. Stay with me. This is a Bible. This is a study. We're worshiping God. Stay with me. This is not Brother Gary by himself. You got to get this also. Verse 18, he says, so that by two unchangeable things, there are a lot of things that change in life. You know any wishy-washy folks? You call them wishy. I don't know if that's still a word, but they used to use that word, wishy-washy. Today they speak to you, tomorrow they don't know you. Yeah, but he said, so by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. Lord have mercy. Boy, if you find somebody that have never lied to you, you better, that's a good person. Well, I don't know if it's a good person, but that's a strong character person that they've been around you for a long time and they never lied. That's a lie right there. But the Bible says it is impossible. That's why we started off with this first anchor. It's God. It's unfaltering. See, you can put your faith in God because God is the same all the time and been the same. Amen, somebody. It's impossible for God to lie. So that means that whatever God has said, whatever God is saying, is truth. Amen. Now I know some of us that may still need to be tested out because we haven't trusted in God. But this is what the scripture says. This hope we're talking about. And see, let me not get ahead of myself. Listen, he says, "Who God, impossible God to lie. We who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us." It says, now, this hope we have as an anchor for the soul, we can have it because if you look in the past, there are two things that are true. One is that it's impossible for God to lie. Amen. Praise the Lord. He says, now we take refuge in the fact, if it's impossible for God to lie, we can be truly encouraged and we can hold on to this hope just as if we already got what we're hoping for. Nah, that's a mouthful. And then he goes back a little further. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. Stay with me now. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. And he gives us a fact. He gives us some truth. He says this. He says, for when God made the promise to Abraham. Now this applies to us. Now, God made a promise. Now, this is Hebrews. We're in the New Testament. This promise was made way back in the Old Testament. And he goes back and he gets a fact out of the Old Testament. He said, God made the promise to Abraham. Since he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. You see, sometimes we swear. We say, I swear to God. But the Bible tells us not to swear. Just let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. But now see, we say, well, I swear. You don't have to swear. Just say whatever you can say. Just let it be the truth. But the Bible says God swore by himself saying, I will surely bless you and I will surely multiply you. That was his promise to Abraham. If you went back to Genesis chapter 12, you see he made that promise. He says, Abraham, your seed are going to be like the sea, sand on the seashore. He says, I'm going to bless you, and through you, I'm going to bless all nations. And we still uttering Abraham's name even today because of the promises of God. And then in verse 15, it says, and so having patiently waited, that's what Abraham did. He told Abraham at the age of 75, Abraham, you're going to bear a seed. Abraham didn't have no children at the time. He says, you're going to bear a seed. At an old age, he told Sarah, and Sarah laughed at him. And God told him that promise. And the Bible says, having patiently waited, he obtained the promise. We're talking about the hope of salvation now. Now, we haven't gotten it yet, but you know what the scripture says? Abraham got his promise. Praise the Lord. Abraham got his promise. God promised him, and he waited patiently, and Abraham received his promise. You know what that tells us? That tells us God can't lie. God won't lie. God delivered on Abraham's promise. He's still delivering on it today. And it tells us that we will get our promise. We'll get the hope of salvation, what we're hoping in. Turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 24. Romans chapter 8, verse 24. For in hope, that's the word again, we have been saved. Notice what the scripture said. It didn't say we will be saved. It says we have been saved. Now, we're still living on this earth. If you went to Romans chapter 1, you see this passage is written to Christians. It's written to the church. It's written to those who have been baptized into Jesus Christ. If you've been baptized into Jesus Christ, the Bible says, in hope we have been saved. Some of that, but I hope I go to heaven. But if you're a Christian, if you're a child of God, you can hope it. But you know what? We already have been saved. Oh, but we have made it to heaven yet, brother. Come on, you got to know what hope is. See, for we in hope we have. I can say as a child of God, I'm not perfect, I'm not sinless, perfected, but I can say that I am saved. Praise the Lord. That's some good scripture. And then now notice this. It says, but hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he already sees. See, then this hope is kind of a little tricky. See, it's not hope if you already got it. And so while we're living on this earth, it is this hope of salvation that we have, but we just haven't realized it yet. But it's just as sure as we have it right in our hands. Oh, my goodness. See, it's the hope that's gone. It's this hope that helps us to live purposeful lives while we're here. It's this hope that helps us to overcome any obstacle on what obstacle on earth. Yeah, we're in this pandemic and there's uncertainty, and there are people still dying and people still getting sick. But as long as we're here, we're still here. Amen. And we're not going to stop living, are we? And really, listen, this is not the first pandemic that's been in on earth. I was doing a little history, looking up some things. You know, there was a pandemic from 2005 to 2012, the HIV AIDS pandemic. You remember when HIV hit the scene? Everybody was going to get just panicking, and then you didn't want to touch people, and don't kiss nobody, and don't get too close to nobody. And you know what? The death toll of that pandemic, ultimately 36 million individuals died from HIV, and individuals are still dying from HIV. While the numbers have gone down, there have been at least three flu pandemics, one in 1968, the death toll was a million. One in 1918, the death toll was 20 to 40 million individuals. All over the world, a flu pandemic. Then you had the horrible, horrible Black Death of 1346 through 1353, where it is stated that from 75 to 200 million individuals, like the bubonic plague, individuals died. And now, I'm not downplaying what we're going through right now, but Lord, we've been through in this earth. We're not that old that have experienced all of those, but there are things going on in this world all the time. You know, that we have earthquakes and we have tsunamis and individuals are killed. And so those of us that are alive, we need to be saying, thank you, Lord. God got us here for a reason. But you know what else? We're not going to go walk and jump off a building, because why? We have hope. Yeah, we have hope. We have the hope of salvation. That means that whatever we're going, the hope is the equalizer for us as we live this life. That's why individuals do jump off buildings and hang themselves, because they've lost hope. They don't realize that they have the salvation that God gives. Amen. Any obstacle, any experience, any trial, Amen. Any disappointment, any failure, any setback, any tragedy, are you experiencing something right now that has you so down and so depressed that you're not functioning where God wants you to function, how God wants you to function. You're not living a purposeful life. You've almost given up in life. Oh, Lord have mercy. We got some hope. Even those of us that are watching right now who don't have a relationship with God, maybe that's in God and all of his providence. God who rules and controls all things has given you an opportunity to hear from him this morning. And he can change your life. He can change your attitude. He can change your spirit. He can lift you up through his word and through the preached word this morning. And he can give us hope. But you got to believe with all of your heart that God is. You've got to believe that his son is. Because I'm going to tell you something. You need to get you some hope while you're living in this world. Amen. Oh, have mercy, because something's going to happen to us while we're here if it already haven't happened. If somebody's going to disappoint you. Yes, yes, somebody. I mean, if some person is a human, you know, those of us even that wish, that want to do well, we make promises to people. I'm going to be by you. I got your back. Sometimes we can't, you say you got somebody's back, you don't have your own back. Yeah, we make promises to our kids sometimes that we can't keep. Why? Because we are human, but that's not God. Amen. Because God cannot lie. And we have this wonderful, blessed hope. Oh, of salvation that will save our souls. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1. You still with me this morning? You might as well wake up this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. Listen to this. I'm trying to give us some hope this morning. Lord, lift us up. Lift our spirits up. Some of us need this morning. Some of us need to wake up. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice these anchors again. They're all in the Bible. All you need to do is grab these anchors and let them down. Blessed be the God, that's God, and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can't have one without the other. Who, according to his great mercy, Lord, thank you, Jesus, has caused us to be born again to a living hope. Now, God, see, even God don't want us to be walking around in the doldrums all the time. See, while we're living, we need to live. Because there's somebody else who needs to live. Amen, somebody. And those of us that are saved, do you not realize it was God who caused you to be saved? And because, you know, some of us are so hard-headed. Some of us, we rejected the truth. And somehow God may have sent us through something that our hearts were tender. And we obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I won't go over that again. Verse 4, to obtain an inheritance. Yeah, some of us, we're not going to be rich with money. It's just not going to happen. As hard as we try. But Lord have mercy, in Christ Jesus we have an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away. Grasp hold to that. Grasp hold of that. You know, and I'm finally getting old enough now that you know, I want to be comfortable, I want to be secure, but I realize, man, look here, you know, you can't put on but one pair of shoes at a time. Amen, somebody. You can buy 50 pair of shoes, but can't nobody see but one pair at a time. Amen. You got 100 pair in your closet, and you say, oh, you look in that closet, oh, I got all these shoes, and you walk out the door, and you don't have but one pair on. And they probably don't look good to somebody. And we worry about the curtains and the blinds and the flowers in the yard and the car, and is the car clean? And I know all these things, they good. Lord have mercy, that stuff, if the car get me from here to there, that's good enough for me. Amen, sometimes. Not all the time, but sometimes. And he says we have something that's imperishable, that's undefiled. I'm telling you, I'm reserved in heaven for you. I know that's hard for some of us to see. I haven't been to a restaurant in a while, Brother Desmond, that I had to make reservation. I haven't been to one in a while. I don't like to make reservations, but you know, if you make reservations, you know it's not Popeyes. Amen. You make reservations, you know you're going somewhere, right? Yeah, yeah. My wife is she's in the audience right now. Maybe you think you make some reservations. You want to go somewhere with some reservations? She's shaking her head. She, well, Yeah, yeah. Maybe we make some reservations when we get ready to go somewhere. I don't know. But Lord have mercy. To know, to absolutely know. This gives me some hope. And it gives you hope and it gives you motivation to know there is a reservation in heaven for Desmond Trotter. Praise the Lord. I don't know. Think about that for a minute. Now, I don't know. Now, see, I don't know any more Desmond Trotter. You know any more Desmond Trotters in the world? I don't even know any more Desmond Trotters in the world. Now, I know some more Gary Smiths. Now, I got some Gary. Matter of fact, it's probably, there's another Gary Smith that goes here to Field War. There's another one that I went to school with. But there's a reservation. That ought to make us smile. That ought to make you take your mind off your little house that you got on this earth. See, I know some of us got some nice houses, really nice houses. But you got upkeep on it, though. Oh, lot of upkeep. He says this. He says, listen to this. He says, verse 5, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, we haven't seen it yet, but that's why we started with the first anchor of God as our anchor, because God was here before we were. He's going to be here when we're gone, and he has the power to keep our reservation. How many other folk got reservation? Ours will be kept for us. Nobody is not going to take it away, praise the Lord. Verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, even though for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, as though we are, some of us, most of us, many of us, probably all of us are experiencing some trials right now. That's the reality of the situation. God doesn't try to camouflage it. We're on earth. We're in a broken world where there's sin in the world and there are consequences for sin. But God is still in control and he sees and knows all things and he knows we're going through some things. But he just says, hold on, Gary. It's going to be all right. Yeah, it's going to be all right. Sister, brother, it's going to be all right. Yes, yes, yes. Various trials. So that the proof of your faith, Lord have mercy, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation or the revealing of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible. Notice this now. Let me just say this. You see, now, and I know in this world, in this pluralistic, in this postmodern generation, we have individuals who say, Brother Gary, that's good. That's what you believe, and that's what you believe, and that's what you believe. But I have my belief. But there is, if you're going to hold on to this hope, there can be no wavering. You must believe that God is. You must believe that Jesus is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. There is no in between. You believe it or not. You grasp it or not. It's yours or it's not. You greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith, this anchor, the salvation of your soul. I know, am I preaching? Am I talking too loud? Can you hear me all out there? We're talking about salvation. We're not talking about a car. We're not talking about clothes. We're not talking about your birthday present. No, your retirement watch. No, we're talking about salvation. Yeah, we're talking about the salvation of your souls. And I'm going to end this lesson. Maybe I shouldn't. I'm going to try to end this on a high note, but I'm going to end it on a serious note. Because, see, when we talk about salvation, see, that word salvation, what do you mean, Brother Gary? Salvation from what? I'm glad you asked. You ask it. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. And
Apostle Peter, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writing to the saints, as he's given them so much hope, as the word gives us so much hope and deliverance from all things that we're going through, the trials and hard times. But then the Bible turns very serious and gives consequences, because when the scripture talks about salvation, you need to understand what it's talking about salvation from. It uses the word save. And normally when you say you use the word save, it's saved from something that's bad can happen to you. When you save a person from drowning, you save them from death. Listen to what he says. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way. And I had time, I read before that, because you will see it's talking about the end times. It says one day this world is going to see. You know, we sing this song, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through." One day this world will be destroyed. It won't be just a pandemic. It won't be just a coronavirus that's going to kill the whole world. He says, since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be holy in? Ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking to the hastening coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements. Some say, "Brother Gary, that's metaphorical. That's not literal. That's not talking about that. It's just a metaphorical thing. It's going to, well, brother, that too many scriptures. I don't have time to read. I just finished reading this one. It says, in which the heavens, not heaven, not where God is. God sits in he's everywhere, but he is heaven. He is in heaven, but in the heavens. See, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. The heavens include the stars, the moon, the sun, the galaxy. Somebody again, there's a black hole. There might be many black holes up there. Those are the heavens. That's what God created. You might not have seen it, but the scripture says, which the heavens will one day gonna be burned up. It says, and the elements will melt with intense heat. That don't sound metaphorical to me. That sounds like something going to do some burning. It says in verse 13, but according to none, praise the Lord. Now that's what you're going to be saved from. See, all of us, the Bible says this is appointed unto man to die once. Now, and after this is the judgment. We all going to have some kind of death. Now, we all not going to die physically, but the scripture says we all going to be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Those that will die, dead will die. Some have died from the pandemic. Some have died from other causes, accidents. We will die. After death is a judgment. But one day there's going to be a day. When Jesus comes back again with his mighty angels. And the scripture says everything on this earth is going to be. It's going to be burned up. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be here when it's burning. Amen. Anybody attest to that? We just studying the Bible. I'm just reading scriptures right out of the Bible. We're talking about the hope of salvation. Oh, and then it gets positive again. In verse 13, it says, but according to his promise. Remember the promise that God gave to Abraham that we read a few moments ago? He says, Abraham, I'm going to bless your seed. You've been obedient to me. He said, and through you, all nations going to be blessed. He gave Abraham that promise. You're going to have a son, Abraham. And he delivered on that promise. Then it says, but according to his promise, we, that's us, are looking for a new heavens, praise the Lord, and a new earth. That's where we want to be. We sing a song, I want to be where you are, dwelling in your presence. Anybody know that song? Feasting at your table, surrounded by your glory in your presence. That's where I always want to be. I just want to be. God, you like that song? That's a beautiful song. I just want to be with you. Listen, he says, therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, that's the hope, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless, blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. Just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you. Lord have mercy. God is patient. He's loving. He's kind. Praise the Lord. And I thank the Lord for God's patience. Don't you thank the Lord for God's patience? Yeah, I'm glad he didn't take me when I didn't need to be took. And you should regard God's patience. Some of God's been patient with some. Some of us, we've been dabbling in all kind of other stuff and book reading all of these books about all of these different people and all of these different faiths. And the scripture says there is one God. There is one spirit. Even as you're called in one hope of your calling, there's one Lord. That's not all of these deities and all of these beliefs, and you believe what you want to believe. There's one faith. There's one way to God. There's one. Amen. And he says, you regard God's patience as salvation, but it's time for you to come home. It's time for you to come back to God. It's time for you to answer him before it's too late. Jesus said this in John 7:16-33. These things I've spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. He said, in the world you may have tribulation. You will have tribulation. He says this, but take courage, Jesus says. I have overcome the world. Anchors for the soul, the hope of salvation. As long as we're living, we got hope. That's the beautiful thing about it. As long as there's blood, life, blood running in your vein, you got the hope of salvation. But you better do something before you leave here. Amen. The Bible says, so faith comes by hearing. You've heard the word this morning. Hearing by the word of God. That's why faith comes. That's where it starts, the word of God. If you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you're willing to repent of all of your sins, this is God's plan of salvation for mankind. Luke 13:3-5. If you're willing to confess with your mouth what your heart believes, and you're not ashamed that Jesus is, you're not ashamed to tell anybody that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, Matthew 10:32. If you're willing to be baptized in water for the remission of all your sin, God adds you to the body of Christ, the church of Christ, the church that you can read about in your Bible. God adds you to that church, the church that I'm going to talk about in detail next week as we give the last anchor of this series, the safe haven of the church that belongs to Christ. Amen. And you too can have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you too can say that by faith we have hope and know that we are saved from the destruction to come. If you need to come to Christ, please come. If you have a prayer request, some of you have written prayer requests on our Facebook Live page, we'll pray. One of the elders will pray for those prayer requests. We'll pray for any prayer requests that you may have. But if you want to be baptized, you can be baptized today. Today. We'll wait on you. If you call the number on your screen or contact, email us at the email address. It's bulletin@fwcoc.org. We will wait on you to be baptized even today. If you need to come, won't you come right now? Amen.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Or are you fully trusting?